Hey everyone, this is Dave Denniston, and welcome back to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, your latest 3-on-3 video.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt and taxes and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, with the love of fantasy books and funk, and a hatred of running more than 3 miles, Dave Denniston.
Alrighty, so here we go. If you didn't have a chance last time, we talked about this book, The Millionaire Mind. And I asked this question, have you ever wondered, when you think of a millionaire, what do they look like? And as a matter of fact, how do you become a millionaire? And are millionaire physicians different than other kinds of millionaires? And does a millionaire physician have different needs or desires or drives? So make sure to check out part one of that series in the last podcast, the last video. And here's the book, The Millionaire Mind by Thomas Stanley. So again, wonderful, wonderful book. I can't recommend it more. As a matter of fact, I think it's a great gift for any child or friend or anyone struggling with money. It's a fantastic resource. So what we're going to talk about today, you guys, I'm going to make this video a lot shorter than the last one, try to stick to more of our 3-minute format, the role of luck. What does that look like? And in the book, on page 84, he goes through these different factors. How many folks, when they looked at being lucky, thought that that was the reason for their success? And what was so fascinating for me here, 17% of business owners, 12% of senior corporate execs, and 7% of attorneys all thought that being lucky played a big role for them. But physicians, being lucky only 4%, 1/4 of the other professions. And instead, physicians came much stronger with elements of discipline, such as being well-disciplined, being well-organized, working harder than other people. For physicians was so much more important. 73 of physicians said being well-disciplined, 50% being well-organized, 61% working harder than most people has led to their success. And you guys, I think that this is something that is so much different for physicians, because many physicians today, they aren't entrepreneurs. They aren't trying to start a business. And so it really does all come down to that discipline and organization. So this was just fascinating to me comparing to other millionaires. So I'd like to know for you, can you relate to that? Do you think where you are at is because of luck? And which of these qualities do you have? Is it being well-disciplined? Is it luck? Is it being well-organized? Is it working harder than other people? All right, part two here that I gained from the book in this particular section. Are grades indicative of success? Do grades equal success? And personally, I've always thought of that way, because I usually think of grades as being hard work. But in fact, what Dr. Stanley talked about was Bob Lutz, the CEO of Chrysler. And he said, like many millionaires, Mr. Lutz was not beaten down by an early lack of academic achievement. As a matter of fact, he didn't graduate college until his mid-20s. He was 22 when he finally graduated high school, so he was a really slow start. But he said that what happened for him, he ended up getting in the Marines. He ended up having great mentors. He learned about discipline and leadership and integrity. And the work ethic he developed from that changed his financial future. And, you know, what's interesting that he points out next was if everyone who gets good grades, if everyone who gets a 1600 on the SAT, if everyone who are straight-A students and in pre-K and college should be the most successful, then all of us should go to work for those people. But what he finds is that being perfect in school does not translate into being a high-performance leader and thus into high net worth. So I found that to be interesting because that challenged, frankly, my own assumption in terms of what success and successful people do. And what he said, particularly about doctors, this is on page 151 of the book, if you want to skip to it. He pointed out a particular cardiologist. And he said, why are do-it-yourselfers, what are they doing when it comes to investing their life savings? And the more data he collects about the issue, he says that so many do-it-yourselfers are often scholars. They were scholars in college and medical school, great reading habits, high level of analytical intellect. And what he said was that people who have that high level of intellect, they're much less likely to use advisors of CPAs and attorneys and financial folks. He said only 40% of millionaires with SAT scores of 1,400 and over use advisors, whereas those who got between 1,000 and 1,200, over 60% use skilled advisors. And what he said, that having high analytical intellect does not necessarily guarantee a high level of practical intelligence and the one's ability to make accurate judgments about people. And we all know that poor service, poor recommendations, without bouncing it off other people, you guys, I've seen many folks make mistakes. So I would encourage you to hire good people around you, a great CPA, a great attorney. And you can find those people often in referrals and in good materials. So check that out. All right. Now, the third thing that I'd like to ask you here is, where do you see yourself? Are you a do-it-yourselfer? Do you see yourself as an analytical, or do you see yourself more as a relational person or somewhere in between? Where do you see yourself? Are you a do-it-yourselfer? And finally, what can you outsource? What can you do to turn to good advisors? Now, the third point that I wanted to make today, as we're talking about hard work versus luck versus risk, is this concept of financial risk versus playing the lottery. And this is something that I can't agree with more. And the whole idea here, you guys, is in weighing risk, you have to think about, am I making an economic decision, or am I simply rolling the dice? And what's fascinating in this chapter, that there can be good things to take on debt, there can be good things to take on risk when you study, when you know in and out how things work, or you work with people who can point those things out to you. And what he says is that his study of people that are decamillionaires, $10 million or more, 41% of them are willing to take financial risk, whereas those under 1 million, only 18%. And it gets higher every single level. 18%, and then it's 21%. Those have 1 million, 2 million, and then 28%, 2 million to 3 million, and so on, all the way up to 41% for deca millionaires. So that is a huge component of being successful, of having the willingness to take financial risk. Now, what he found was that the inverse is true of playing the lottery. For people that are regular lottery players, playing the lottery in the last 30 days, 38% of people under $1 million play the lottery, whereas only 14% of deca millionaires do. And again, it's a sliding scale, 38, 36, 27, 21, and 14. And then who has played the lottery in the past 12 months? Again, it's that sliding scale. If you're under $1 million net worth, well, nearly one out of two, nearly 50%, whereas those over $10 million or more, 20. So it goes 47, 48, 35, 27, 20 in terms of net worth. So both of those things, you guys, I mean, that tells us that the people who are the most successful, they don't play the lottery. They put their investments, they put their hard-earned money into financial risk, where they know and they study and they can have a good feel for any investment that they do. And they emphasize that kind of investment rather than pure games of chance. So I'd like to know from you, did you learn something today? Did you see yourself in one of these aspects? And I'd like to know again, can you imagine yourself being a millionaire. And there's so much more I want to cover, but there's only so much time. So we're going to do part three in the next podcast, in the next video. So make sure to check that out on drfreedompodcast.com or on the YouTube site. And again, there's this wonderful resource that I have available to you, a brand new book about overcoming common physician financial mistakes that you can get entirely for free when you subscribe to my newsletter on drfreedompodcast.com. This is Dave Denniston. Thank you so much for listening. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, hearing your experiences. Make sure to check back in again soon. Have a good one. Hey, this is Dave Denniston. I hope you liked today's episode. If you did, hey, please do me a favor and go into iTunes and give this a 5-star review. We have to get those reviews on up so more people can discover how to slash their debt and their taxes and creating a liberated lifestyle. As a matter of fact, each month I'm giving out a prize package to one of our reviewers for the month. So make sure to go to iTunes right now and place your review. Thanks so much, and I'll talk to you next time.